Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Just scroll down for Your Financial Choices or catch us on the award-winning WDIY app. Our topic tonight is running a business and also discussing what kind of entity type we would have. We will take your questions. Eric's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. You can also send show ideas or topic ideas to us there as well, which was why we are talking about this particular topic tonight. We had someone email us from North Carolina, so we really appreciate that. If you are not comfortable talking live on air with us with your questions, you can certainly give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it into the studio. I have a guest this evening with me to discuss our topic, running a business and choosing an entity type. I have Tom Riddle. Tom is a certified public accountant and CFP professional and the founder and chairman of Valley National Group. He holds a BA from Lafayette College in mathematics and economics and holds an MBA degree from Lehigh University. Tom received the Alexander E. Loeb Gold Medal Award for the highest score on the CPA exam in Pennsylvania in 1977. Still worth mentioning. Tom has more than 35 years of financial experience, including serving as bank examiner for the U.S. Treasury Department, senior accountant at KPMG, corporate controller of Johnson March Corporation, VP Finance of Hospital Central Services, and as founder and president of Valley National Group for many, many years, and now chairman of the board. So welcome to the show, Tom. You've been here with us before. Welcome back.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming, and I thought it was particularly of importance to have Tom join us this evening because he has had quite the career and has tremendous insights into this very topic that we are discussing tonight. So we are talking about running a business and choosing an entity type, and we also are going to be referring to a guidebook from Lehigh Valley Score, our friends at Lehigh Valley Score. They have a guidebook, Lehigh Valley Score's Entrepreneur Guide, and I'll try to give that website as we go through the show here. But the guidebook is a free reference and provides lots of information on starting a business, putting together a business plan, professionals to use, and much more. And they have other resources on that web on the website as well, and mentor options, mentor opportunities. If you perhaps have retired and you want to do some volunteering, they really welcome that. We are going to keep the discussion high level because there is so much to cover on this particular topic. We could just dig deep into an array. So I thought we'll kind of keep it high level this evening on the decision to start your own business and choosing the entity type. But I would first like to start with Tom giving us a little bit of his background and then from there how his career evolved into making a decision to start his own business.
Well, thanks, Lori, for that lead-in, and I appreciate all the good thoughts you gave me. But from my standpoint, I think it's probably better that I, instead of telling you what I did, is to tell you what I think you can learn just by referencing to the SCORE handbook that Lori referred to, because there's a great checklist in there that you can go through yourself instead of trying to compare yourself and your circumstances to what I had, you know, 35 years ago. It's great for you to understand that there's a nice little checklist here, and you can self-evaluate yourself whether you would be a good candidate for running or buying your own business. And the first characteristic that I think is very important for you to answer is to determine, are you a self-starter? Because in business, nothing happens by itself. You've got to drive the car to make things happen if you're the business owner. The second thing is, are you a positive thinker? Ask your friends, ask your neighbors, ask the people in your church, your coworkers, do you think positively? And if they answer yes, then that's a check mark, good check mark. Are you disciplined? Are you able to get out of the 9 to 5 routine and work different hours? Because as a business owner, you're sometimes called upon to do things at any time of the day or weekend. Are you a lifetime learner? And if you feel that you always have something to learn, if you're open to new ideas, then you have that entrepreneurial spirit, and you have to have that to be able to respond to threats that come against your business, to new ideas, new products, new competition. You have to be flexible. And to do that, you need to have a philosophy of being a lifetime learner. And additionally, can you market yourself and your business? Talk to your friends and your neighbors and relatives about that too. Do they view you as somebody who can not only describe a concept, but to make that concept something they would want to buy from you? And then, can you be objective? Because you have to self-evaluate your business as you go through operating the business from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. And last, but not the least important, ask your spouse, ask your family what they think about you getting involved in your own business, either starting it or buying it. Listen to what they have to say. Lori?
That's very good, Tom. And you have found, you know, this list was in this guidebook from SCORE, the Entrepreneur Guidebook, but it must have resonated with you as well as you were going through it to find that it was, you know, so important that we kind of started with that.
Yes, absolutely. I saw myself, if I were to have gone down through this question and answer in 1985 when I started the Valley National Companies, I would have checked most of the boxes, not all of them.
Well, I think you still do, though, Tom. I think you are a self-starter. You are a positive thinker. You are disciplined. You are a lifelong learner. You have people who probably market you and your business. I'm not sure you probably do that as much as the people in the company. And being objective, I guess, might be something that would be hard to do if you're a self-starter, because sometimes I think the mentality to go into business sometimes even precludes someone from being a little bit objective, at least about their own aspiration. Sometimes you have to, there was a saying I think Jim Carrey had when he was first going into acting. He said, you have to be fool enough to believe. And that really resonated with me when I heard that back then. And I've used that quote many, many times. You have to be fool enough to believe, but you shouldn't be foolish. And so not being foolish is kind of going through this checklist. And then is your spouse and family in agreement? Because they know you the best, right? And you're going to need their support.
Right.
My parents were self-employed, had a hardware store. We know the way hardware stores have gone. So there was a very difficult period. When you talk about lifelong learner and being able to adapt and change and kind of pivot, you never know how a business might evolve and what direction you could go. One thing that I know with Valley National, and we're not here necessarily to talk about Valley National, but it's also about a diversity of services sometimes when you go into business, that if you just go down one lane, you may not be able to pivot as you know, quickly, because actually in your company you have a number of services, and that probably helps you kind of manage the business and give you other options. We're at our first break, so if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1 and on the website wdiy.org and the WDI award-winning app. We are talking with Tom Riddle, CPA, CFP professional, and founder and chairman of Valley National. And we are discussing running a business and choosing an entity type. We are referencing the Lehigh Valley Scores Entrepreneur Guidebook as well. And that is something that would be available free on their website, which I had at one point. There it is. Lehighvalley.score.org. Lehighvalley.score.org for people who are interested in more information on running a business or getting some mentorship. They have some resources there. So, Tom, we were just talking. I think it was great that you started with that list of kind of self-reflection almost. Are you a self-starter? Are you a positive thinker? Are you disciplined? Lifelong learner? Tom also has really instilled that even within the employees of the company. It's all about lifelong learning and continued education and certification. And you have to be almost in the environment today. Everything moves so fast, technology moves so fast, and so you kind of have to stay ahead of it with lifelong learning as well. So, Tom, let's talk about, maybe before we get into the entity types, let's talk a little bit about some of the risks and rewards of going into business.
Well, Lori, when we talk about the specific choices of forming a business in a partnership or sole proprietor or corporation or LLC, there are some differences there we want to talk about later, and when it gets to what your liabilities are that you're accepting or taking on by yourself. But before we get into the details there, in general, there are some risks associated with starting a business or buying a business, and here are some of them to consider. First is partners and associates that you have. If you have anything other than a sole proprietor, where there's just you, if you have a partner of some kind or an associate, you need to have a written business agreement with that business partner or associate. And I can tell you from past experience and also personal observation, it's a lot easier to get a partner in business than to get rid of a partner in business. You know, businesses have differences. Business partners have differences. They come up frequently because there are different views and opinions about how to run the business, what course to take, how to handle customers, and those will create friction between the partners. And you just need to have an agreement in place, and that's a business agreement. That's one mistake to avoid. And another mistake is not having a formal business plan. And I think too many people hurry to start that business and don't pause to put a formal business plan in place. Because once the business gets up and running or you buy it and it's running, you're busy. And it's hard at that point to pause to put that formal business plan together. And that's why it's important to have that and also be able to have an opportunity to think through some issues that will come up in time. And I think well-prepared, you know, luck, I say, favors the well-prepared. And that's why some successful business people appear to be lucky, but in essence, they've got a well-formulated plan, and whenever something unexpected occurs, they're able to maneuver and make the right decisions timely to take advantage of or fend off the threat. The next thing to avoid in a business is starting the business or buying a business with insufficient financial support. And I think my experience over the last 3 or 4 decades has been that's the number one reason why businesses fail is they just underestimate the amount of financial wherewithal that's needed to get the business off the ground and keep it growing. Any growing business consumes cash. Frequently, if you have a business, you have to pay money out to pay your employees or buy supplies before you have it coming in from your customers. And that is the difference of time is what causes the need for more and more capital. And as your business is growing faster and faster, your need for capital, your need for cash to buy inventory and to provide and buy the supplies is and pay the bills and pay the employees before you get paid from your customer grows exponentially. And that's the number one reason I've seen businesses fail is having inadequate amount of reserves. So what do you do to prevent that? Well, you do some – that's part of your formal business plan. Part of your formal business plan is to do some calculations of how much money you need to have in place. And you basically have to put a budget in place and figure out how much money is going to be going out before it comes in. And you do it on a month-to-month and sometimes even on a week-to-week basis to get a handle on how much working capital you need up front. And that doesn't always have to be in the form of money in the bank. You could alternatively, if you don't have money in the bank, you go to a bank and get a line of credit that's available to your company that you can draw upon whenever business you get a new customer or a new geographic area and you have to expand. You can draw upon the line of credit and then pay it off down the road whenever the money comes in from the customers. And the next thing I find is that for mistakes is not enough experience in the field. But it's possible to get that sometimes on the job training. If you're buying a business, if you buy the business from a business owner who sticks around for a while and agrees to train you for a month or 2 months or 6 months, depending upon the complexity of the business, that's a big benefit. And, you know, that exiting business owner can introduce you to the customers and get you in front of them, and you can retain the customers and learn the business. And that's a great great solution for that. But getting that experience and getting the knowledge about the product, about the service, about the customers is key. And I cannot underestimate the importance of that. Another mistake is hiring the wrong people. It's hard sometimes to judge employees or prospective employees, but you have to take the time to get comfortable and know them before you hire them. The wrong location is another risk of a business, and starting a business where there's little or declining demand. And that's just, I think that's a problem that could crop up, especially in this day where we have fast-moving events that change industries from top to bottom. It's because of technology. Technology is changing everything. And also, we've seen a lot of changes because of the COVID pandemic and some social changes that have sprung up because of that. There's a lot of things in motion now. You don't want to be at the wrong end of that spectrum whenever it comes to is your product or service declining in demand. So you want to be careful about that if you're looking to buy or start a business. And the other thing is you just have to be willing to get out in front of people and convince them that you are the person they should be dealing with, or you've got the product that they need, or you have the service that they need. You have to be willing to go out and do that. And some people are very willing to do that. Others are not. You have to answer that question. But that is another mistake, is that if you're not willing to make that first step, and that would be a problem.
Okay. And hopefully you believe in the business and are passionate about it, and hopefully would be willing to go out there and kind of sell yourself or sell that product or sell that service that you intend to give. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and you can give questions to Eric to write down and bring into us if you're not comfortable talking live on air. If you'd like to talk live on air, just call in to that number, and we will put you through. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking about running a business this evening and choosing an entity type, which we will be referring to very shortly. I have as a guest with me this evening Thomas Riddle. He's a CPA, CFP professional, and founder and chairman of Valley National, and an entrepreneur himself, has started a number of businesses. So Tom really is well-schooled in running a business. And we have gone over some of the mistakes to avoid and some of the, characteristics someone might want to have in order to go into business. And we've been referring somewhat to the Lehigh Valley Scores Entrepreneur Guide, which is available on their website at lehighvalley.score.org. And they have a search bar there, and you can just search the materials and type in entrepreneur guidebook, and up it will pop. There's a number of advertisements at the beginning of the book, but if you scroll through, you're going to get to all the guts of it. So, Tom, I want to thank you for being here with us tonight to talk about these things, and you've already given us so much enlightenment, so I appreciate that. Let's get into the entity types, and that is probably going to take a little bit of time, and I hope after we cover the entity types, we can talk a little bit more about some of the other nuances, like, capital assets and, professionals that you can use, and, how you surround your people, surround yourself with people who are informed and can help you in all of these decisions. So entity types, I think that we often don't realize, as we're walking through town and running into shops and stores or online, we're buying from businesses. And what we don't see, it's not readily apparent often, is what kind of business someone might have. We see corporations. We see that, there are corporations, C-corps, that's big businesses typically that we think of. But quite often, even those kinds of businesses may start off as a sole proprietor, just an individual starting with a good idea. And you don't necessarily go from, in your house or a little small shop into one of those big corporations. So we've in our story that we're weaving tonight, we're talking about, first of all, do you have the characteristics for it? Some of the mistakes to avoid. Now, what's the entity type? What does this mean? You're choosing an entity type. Can you kind of go into that and then talk about how that can evolve as well?
Well, thanks, Lori, for that lead-in again. I think it's important for the listeners to understand there's four basic types of entity choices that an individual has whenever they form a business or even buy a business. And on that topic, if you buy a business, you have the right or capability of resetting or changing that business entity type. Now, business entity type, what does the word entity mean here that we're talking about? Well, a common form of entity is what is referred to as a sole proprietorship. Sole proprietorship is one person, it's a one-man band or one-woman band, one-person band, and that is where there's a individual who is doing the work, generating the business, paying the bills, collecting the money from the customers, providing the service, or selling the product. One person. Typically, those individuals do not have employees, and if they did, they would probably form a corporation or a limited liability company. We'll go through that in a minute. The most important thing I have to say about a sole proprietor is that a sole proprietor takes on all the business risks directly on themselves. There's no protection afforded to somebody who starts a sole proprietor. Example of a sole proprietor would be a company who goes out and does landscaping and lawn cutting and does not form a corporation, does not form a partnership, or does not form an LLC. In other words, they just easily open up the business, and this is one of the benefits of a sole proprietor. You can open up a business and start a business in one day. There's no requirement for a special identification number. The identification number of a sole proprietor is the Social Security number in almost all cases. And the employee or the proprietor can start the business as long as they use their last name in the business name. They do not have to go out and get a fictitious name at the state level. They can just simply say, this is the Siebert Lawn Associates, and they have letterhead, invoices, open the bank account with their own Social Security number, and start business the same day. It's that easy. But there's a problem, because if during the lawn services there's an accident, somebody gets hurt, or there's some sort of liability that comes up from a chemical spill, that comes directly back on you. You're responsible for all debts of a, and all liabilities of a proprietorship, a sole proprietorship. So that is one issue that you should deal with. Mm-hmm. Depends upon the business that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's easy to form, relatively easy to form a limited liability company. You can do that in the state of Pennsylvania. The sole person of one person can have his or her own limited liability company. And limited liability is important words here in the description, because the limited liability company will shield the liabilities of the person who owns it from all except for the amount of capital that's put into the company to get it started. So that is one big differentiation between a sole proprietor and limited liability company.
And Tom, would you say, so, you know, it's interesting because people can go through the business plan and, you know, the market studies, and does it feel like this business is going to be sustainable over time? Am I going to be adaptable? Is it in a good area? Blah, blah, blah. But if they're not sure, you know, maybe they have done that, they think they've got a good product, they may or may not want to go through all the hoops of getting a partner, doing a partnership or an S corporation. So the sole proprietor, you're saying they could do fairly quickly. There would be, they would have liability exposure, but if they want to put an envelope around it, they can do the limited liability company that would help give them some protection for the capital that they've put in. I have heard sometimes that people will get maybe some umbrella insurance, or would that help cover anyone in a sole proprietor?
I think every company should have general liability insurance.
Okay, so they would go to their property and casualty insurance provider. So that's one of the professionals that someone, you know, if you're thinking about doing a business, you certainly want to have a discussion with them as well, if not an attorney as well as to an accountant to determine what would be the best business structure for you. I know quite often people will say, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and, you know, they might not have the funds to incur the startup cost and with an attorney and, you know, incorporating or those kinds of more costly maybe legal fees that they could incur. So a sole proprietor with that LLC is really a way to kind of maybe put their foot in the water and try it out with not too much expense at that point. But always good to talk to your attorney and accountant. Folks, we are talking with Tom Riddle, CPA CFP founder and chairman of Valley National. We are talking about starting your business, running a business, entity type. And if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us. And if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Eric. He will write it down and bring it in. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY, Alan Tom, the time is now 6:31. I'm Shawnee Gray. Here Lehigh Valley weather tonight is going to be 40 degrees. Thursday is going to have a chance of showers and high 62. Thursday night is going to be low 44. And for your Friday, it's going to be sunny, high 50. Friday night, low 21. And Saturday, mostly sunny, high 40 degrees. And Saturday night, low 19. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back. Folks, we are talking with Thomas Riddle, CPA, CFP professional, founder, and chairman of Valley National Financial Advisors. We are talking about running a business, choosing an entity type, and we have kind of touched on sole proprietor, probably the simplest, as Tom had referred to it. You can do it in a day and get started. When you start collecting money, yes, you do have to report it. Even the cash, yes, you have to report it. Sole proprietor, kind of simple. When we are employees of a company, we work, we pay Social Security tax, our employer helps pay that as well. We're paying half, the employer's paying half, we're paying into the Social Security system, into the Medicare Part A system. When we're a sole proprietor, we file a Schedule C. It's part of our 1040 tax filing, which it is tax season time. And we are paying our own Social Security, both sides of that, because when we're a sole proprietor, we're both the employee and the employer. We are the sole proprietor, so we're paying both sides of the self-employment tax on that. We have some similar self-employment tax at a partnership level, which Tom will talk about the entity choice of partnership in a moment. And then there are some nuances to that if you choose an entity type such as an S corporation. They all have different features, and you have to research these or work with your accountant, your attorney to kind of see what's going to work best for you, your business type, the kind of business you're going to be in. Are you literally on your own? As Tom said, the easiest way, if it's just you, the Schedule C can be quite easy with that LLC wrapper for some liability protection. If you have employees, it can get a little bit more complicated. So, Tom, quite often someone might start in business and get with a buddy and say, hey, we want to do this together. And I love that you had said earlier about major mistakes to avoid. You said it's easy to get a partner. It's easier to get a partner than to get rid of a partner. But sometimes it's nice because you might have one who has the brains and the talent and someone else might have the capital. So can we talk about the entity type of partnership?
Great. And that's a natural progression. If you have one individual who is running the company and that's a sole proprietor and could be an LLC. And by the way, I don't want to minimize this LLC because LLCs, as are limited liability companies, are pretty easy to set up too. You cannot do it in the same day, but about a week. It takes about a week to set up an LLC. But now, if you're in a situation where you have a colleague or a partner or a business associate, now we're talking about either setting up an LLC, a limited liability company, a partnership, or a special type of a corporation. There's a number of choices here. And which one is best? Well, it depends upon the circumstances. If, for example, one of the partners is the person going to do all the work, and the other partner is the person who's bringing all the money in to get this off the ground or to buy the existing company, it's best to have an LLC, a limited liability company, operating as a partnership, because the way that the tax law allows us to divide up the profits and losses favors having a LLC, limited liability company, operating as a partnership. You can divide up the profits first to, well, you guys, whoever you're in partnership with has to negotiate this, but somebody bring in the capital, the money gets paid a certain amount of the profits, and somebody doing all the work gets paid a certain amount of the profits. You have to come up with a sharing formula. There's a number of different ways to do that. It's probably too much detail to talk about tonight, but in summary, if the two partners or three partners or multiple business associates are bringing in different levels of capital and the profits are not being split evenly, then a partnership or a limited liability company is the way to go. Now, there's something else called a subchapter S corporation. It's a special type of a corporation. And a corporation is kind of thought to be like an artificial being. It's a longer to set up. It does take several weeks to set one of those up. You have to get a special employer identification number or identification number. In fact, you need that for a partnership also. And for a limited liability company, if there's more than one partner, needs a special identification number too. So the one restriction on a subchapter S is that the profits have to be split evenly among the different shareholders in relation to their shares that they own of the corporation. That's one restriction. And like I said, if you're in a situation where the profits are not being split evenly, then a subchapter S will not work easily. There's some ways around that, but to make it work easily, you would go to look at a limited liability company as the choice of entity.
Can I go back to that just for a minute, Tom? Because this is, you know, really important information. So a partnership, you might have someone come in with the capital, someone come in with the, you know, the business idea or doing the work, feet on the ground. They have this agreement, and that goes back to one of the you know, cautions we had, make a formal business agreement. You want to see your attorney and your accountant about this. But a partnership could come in where one's doing the capital, one's doing the work, and we could split the profits differently. So the one with the capital might say, hey, I want 30% of the profit. I'm not doing any of the work, but I'll take 30% or get my capital back. You see these kinds of things on Shark Tank where they say, I'm going to take a, you know, this, I want my money back after so much time. And so they could say, I want 30% of the profit, and the other partner would take 70% because they're really doing the work. That comes through on a K-1. So a partnership has to prepare its own tax return separate from the sole proprietor who does it on a Schedule C as part of their 1040. The partnership has a separate tax return, and then that split of profits comes through on the K-1 to those partners. Can they also have a different share in the debts, or could you have one putting in the capital, one doing the work, sharing those profits on whatever allocation they might have? But if there's debts, would the debts be consistent with the profits?
Under partnership law, the general partners, if it's a partnership, each one of the partners is responsible for all the debts. Each one of the partners is responsible for all the debts. And that's an important thing to remember. In a partnership, each one of the partners is responsible for all the debts. And that you should think hard before you enter into a general partnership with somebody. There's another type of a partnership called a limited partnership, where an individual can invest money and have a limited amount of liability only to the amount of their capital that they put into the partnership. But we're talking about general partnerships primarily, and the general each general partner in a partnership is responsible for all the debts.
Does the limited liability company give them any protection?
Yes, the limited liability company limits the responsibility to the debts only to the extent that the investor has put money in to the limited liability company. Are they responsible? That's the most that they can lose unless they guarantee some of the debt. And that's another issue whenever you go to the bank and start borrowing money.
Okay. So there really, folks, listeners, there is so much to unpack that we cannot in a million years cover it all tonight. It's about awareness and drawing your attention to the attention that this needs if you decide to go into business. So we did mention that a partnership has its own tax return. The profits pass through to the partners, and it passes through to the partners differently than what we would see on the S corporation that you mentioned earlier. And so I'm getting ahead a little bit, but I just want to point out that a partnership then is reporting that profit on their tax return, and it comes through as business income, similar to the sole proprietor, but it comes through on a K-1 and gets reported just a little bit differently. But then that partner, general partner, is subject to self-employment tax as well. Again, different than a limited partner, but the general partner would be subject to self-employment tax on the partnership income that they are reporting from that K-1. So the partnership, so an S-corp, I want to go back just for a moment for employees, Tom. So you can have a sole proprietor with no employees because you're doing all the work. You can have a sole proprietor that does have employees, and then they would have to have payroll and that type of thing. They can still report that on a Schedule C. Partnership can have employees. That flows through the business tax return, and the profit is what ends up on the partnership K-1s. Let's talk about S-corps.
Okay. So S-corps have some of the same similarities that the loss or profit of the S-corporation does flow through. That means that, you know, whatever your portion as a shareholder of the profits of the S corporation, those will show up on your tax return as income. And whatever your share of the losses are from an S corporation show up on your tax return also. So that's what's called a flow through. That's after the expenses are paid. There are some exceptions to that. Gets into the detail here, but there are some expenses that also flow through from the S corporation to your personal tax return, especially pension contributions
and health insurance and different things.
Yes.
Okay. So the S corporation, though, you said the profits and losses can flow through entity. Partnership files a tax return, K-1, flow through. S corporation files an S corporation tax return, flow through, K-1, profit and loss. If I'm a shareholder in an S corporation, I can also be an employee of that S corporation.
Yes, that is true, and that happens very frequently. One of the reasons why an S corporation has become very common in this day and age is because if a company is very profitable, they often select an S corporation as the entity. And you can switch from an LLC to an S-corp, and you can switch from a regular corporation to an S-corporation. There's always some fine-tuning and some special rules that have to be applied. But the bottom line is that once the changeover is made, the S-corp pays out those expenses, will pay the shareholder a salary or income on a W-2, and that's deducted by the S corporation.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to understand the kind of entity type that will work best for the type of business that you may be going into, and who those you know, partners or associates you might have, who's raising the capital. Tom had mentioned that was one of the key mistakes to avoid, is not, you know, anticipating the kind of capital that you might need to support your business, whether it's cash in the bank or access to a line of credit or some small business loans, which also Lehigh Valley Score can help you navigate that as well. And I want to mention that website because we have been referring to some of their materials from the Entrepreneur Guidebook on their website, lehighvalley.score.org. And SCORE is a nationwide network. And I've had them on the show as guests before. And when they need to tap information that they may not have locally, they have quite the network to go tap if needed. So a great organization to help people who are interested in starting up a business. And it can help kind of contain some of the cost as you're exploring those options as well. Folks, we're at the last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Podcasts of prior shows are also available at WDIY.org, O-R-G, under Public Affairs. Just look for Your Financial Choices. Also available at YourFinancialChoices.com and on the award-winning WDIY app. We are talking with Tom Riddle, CPA, CFP professional, and founder and chairman of Valley National Financial Advisors. We're talking about running a business this evening, and entity types pretty broad because there's so many details around this, but hopefully enough to help you scratch the surface and kind of learn that you should do your homework ahead of time. So, Tom, we've talked about some of the mistakes to avoid, some of the characteristics, kind of checking yourself to see if you're really made for running a business. We've talked about some of the entity types. Can we kind of put a wrapper around that and then talk about some of the resources? We've touched on that a little bit when we say maybe talk to an attorney, maybe have these formal documents or business plans. We've mentioned insurance person, accountant. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so I think one of the things that most people have realized by now is how complicated all this is. I mean, this, you know, starting a business or buying a business is a complicated matter because there's taxes, there's insurance to worry about, there's liability to worry about, partner splits on profits, and there's just many complications. So how does one actually decide, you know, how do you get to the point where you can decide whether it should be a limited liability company or whether it should be a partnership or a corporation or an S corporation? How do you really get to that point? And remember, I mentioned to you early on that one of the mistakes to avoid is to develop a business plan with a forecast of what your losses and profits will be. So if you go to an accountant who is skilled in the business area and show that accountant your business plan and your forecast, your financial forecast, the accountant can give you advice on the choice of entity. And for example, if you go to your accountant and show your accountant the business plan and the forecast is, let's say, just for an example, The first 2 years of setting up your business and running the business, it operates at a loss, and then it turns profit and then really creates a huge amount of profit ongoing. The accountant will be able to give you advice on which business entity is best suited for that. If you go into the accountant and say to the accountant, yes, this is, by the way, the accountant should ask, how are you and your business partners splitting the cash, the profits, and the losses? And by the way, you, as a in a partnership, can split the profits under a different percentage allocation or arrangement than the losses. Sometimes the losses are very valuable to business investors, and business investors looking for losses in early years and big gains down the road. So that's part of the process of formulating the split of money and losses and profits in the business. So the accountant should be asking, how are you and your partner splitting these things? And if you can't answer that, then you're not ready to make a decision yet about which entity to choose.
So that's an accountant. What about the agreements, the partnership agreements? Sometimes people just write something up themselves.
Well, there are online sources. But in this type of environment these days, where there's these potential liabilities out there all over the place, I do recommend that you engage an attorney to draw the documents. The only situation where I would think twice before doing that would be a sole proprietor. But if we're doing any type of a partnership or a limited liability company or a corporation, I do recommend engaging an attorney.
Mm-hmm. And then that attorney can actually coordinate too with the accountant if needed. Or, you know, if you're going to start this business, you could be your own quarterback as well. But it's really, especially I would say, Tom, more if you expect that there's going to be a large capital outlay, potential liability, and or, you know, working with a partner or another shareholder if you do an S-Corp. That's really when you want to make sure you're putting it all.
That's right. And also from the standpoint of if you form a limited liability company, which is today the most popular new type of entity that's being formed as LLC, limited liability company, that's the most popular one. If you do form an LLC, everybody will ask you for your membership operating agreement for your membership. The owners of a limited liability company are called members. The owners of a corporation are called shareholders. And the owners of a partnership are called partners. So the members of the limited liability company need to have a membership operating agreement. It says what the rules are, how the profits are being split, how the losses are being split, how the cash is being split, who gets the money when the company is sold, and who's responsible for the management decisions. Those are the things that are in the operating agreement. It's a very, very important document, especially if there's any type of a disagreement down the road.
You know, Tom, another opportunity to work with an accountant, I would say, is when you are going to buy a business. Because you've mentioned some people could be starting it on their own, but they could be buying a business. It could look successful. You might want to ask for, if you get down the line far enough at some point in negotiating the purchase of a business, you're going to definitely want to look at the financials of that business that you're interested in buying.
And I would just insert something from my own observation in the last 5 to 10 years. There are a lot of businesses out there that are great businesses to own where the owner is ready to retire and there's no family to take over and there's no employees ready to take over and they're looking for somebody to come in and buy them out. There's lots and lots of businesses, and it just seems like there's more and more of those. I see more and more of those types of situations. So a very viable opportunity for the right person is to buy an existing business where the existing owner wants to retire.
Mm-hmm. I had a client who was going into psychiatric care and had been working at hospitals, local hospitals doing this. And then someone had approached him, said, I want to retire and let's talk. And they worked together for several months. And my client went on to have his own psychiatric practice and had, you know, went from 30 to 100. I mean, in speed, I'm not giving you dollars. And it worked out quite successful. There are times where it doesn't work out as well. So it really is important to kind of do your homework and make sure that you understand the business yourself.
Right, that you're getting into, right? That's where you need to have the expertise that I mentioned early on is if you're buying another business, hopefully the owner will stick around for 3 months or 6 months to show you the ropes, introduce you to the customers, and make it a smooth transition.
Okay, so important to have an accountant kind of on call.
An attorney
to help with either
insurance.
Writing the documents, looking at the documents. Mm-hmm. If someone has approached you about being the partner with them and they're driving the car in, you know, the business development, you want to make sure that you yourself also have the attorney review everything, review the business plan, especially if you're the person putting the capital in.
And that attorney should also ask, what happens if something happens to one of your partners? What happens if one of your partners dies prematurely or becomes disabled? You know, what is the agreement that you want to have? And that's a good agreement to put in writing also. So if that's for premature death or disability, what happens to your ownership?
Right, because you don't always know how the business might evolve. It could evolve to be a very successful business. And will that surviving partner or partners or shareholders be able to step in and, you know, into the shoes of the prior owner? Or is there an option to buy it for the other partner? Like, is the family going to get it or is the other partner or shareholders going to get it, right? Because that could be in that agreement.
Yeah, most business owners do not want that ownership to go to the family. They don't know the family. They haven't done business with the family usually. In most cases, they want the ownership of the deceased or the disabled business associate to go to them. They just have to have an agreement drawn up.
Right, but that agreement could be very, very important because
then
we're talking about the valuation of the business.
Correct.
and who's going to decide that valuation.
Yes.
Okay. Other things to consider? Oh, liability. So how much of the liability are we protected with the LLC? It doesn't preclude us from going out and making sure that we have adequate coverage.
Yes.
And especially the kind of business you might have would have more exposure than others.
And that means another person on your team needs to be an insurance agent who is skilled in commercial insurance, not residential, not homeowners insurance, but commercial insurance. You need to have a person on your team who's skilled at that to get the right type of liability insurance and look for all the different exposures to different risks that you have. For example, if you're in a Siebert landscaping, you're using some crazy chemicals, you need to make sure that you have the insurance in case there's a chemical spill of some kind.
Okay.
So that's why you need to have a skilled, experienced person.
So I think Tom pointed out something to pay attention to is for insurance, you want to go to someone who does commercial insurance, not just your average. The same thing would apply to the accountant. You had mentioned a business accountant, someone who has experience with businesses, partnerships, S-corps, whatever, because we're not all created the same. Businesses aren't my forte. I prefer estates and trusts and individuals, but you know, you have people on the team and attorneys, the same thing, because there are attorneys who do outstanding work and they're general attorneys, but they may not be doing contracts. So
correct.
Sometimes it's important to pay attention to that. And also the bench of attorneys that a law firm may have that you may have to tap at some point, depending again on what kind of business you have. You may need to tap a labor law attorney. You may have to tap a property attorney or a medical malpractice attorney. So it's not just about writing the right business documents and agreements. It's also what kind of access might you have or need for other attorneys or professionals
right.
that could help your business. Tom, it's been great having you. The time went so fast. It's been a lot of fun having you. So congratulations on your own success, because we could talk for quite a while on that as well. Valley National has been in the community for over 35 years now, right?
Yes, 37.
Okay, and started off with doing tax returns and seeing all the things that a tax return reveals, and then you kind of diversified. So thank you. It's been a pleasure having you. If people wanted to contact you, what's your phone number?
610-868-9000.
Okay, and at valleynationalgroup.com. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. I appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Next week, we're going to continue listeners' tax questions, because last week I didn't get to everything. So listeners' tax questions next week. So be ready to call in or send your questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want to thank Eric and Shondi and our listeners so much. You really make the show work. Thank you for being all here tonight. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.